When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Roderick.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinions. I respect your opinions. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up.
Matter what?
Told you I'ma do me, why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck, country heart. I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month, I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up.
No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low.
Then we lay low.
Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up, bankroll.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. Welcome to the home of Rodri Giggs on football for 45 minutes of non-stop football chat. And as always, brutally honest opinions, substandard analysis from myself, maybe a bit slightly higher level from Rodri now and again. But big shout out to all the new followers, new subscribers, etc. Appreciate you all, guys. Make sure you drop your comments, all that, like the video, share, all that stuff. It's good. Did some big numbers yesterday on the Cardiff City show, which was nice to see. Hopefully we can carry that on this evening as well. But as always, we'll be talking football. So, you know, get involved in the conversation. So just as we do wait for some of the latecomers and the stragglers, we always like to do the Super Six Prediction League, which we're raising money for charity again this year. You can still jump in if you do the Super Six Prediction League on Sky. You can jump in, look out for Will Melush in the YouTube chat, and you can get involved, join the group, raise money. But this week, Peter McIlroy came out on top of the league with 18 points. A special mention to Steve Thorpe, who came second in 16 with 16. Steve's the founder of this season's charity, which is the Free Kicks Foundation. They provide special match day experiences for young children who otherwise wouldn't be able to experience a day out with the football. But let's have a look at how me and Rodri get on, because this is what we enjoy. It's head-to-head all the way through. I've smashed Rodri into oblivion the last couple of seasons, obviously. But he's got a massive seven-point gap at the moment. I scored six this week. He scored nine, taking his total to triple two, 222, which is bad luck in cricket. And myself on 215. The next round is this week at 3 o'clock. Luckily for me, there is no
7 points behind, yeah.
I'm 7 points behind, mate. Yeah, I'm thinking you'll be all right.
You lost one again.
Not sure, mate. Yeah, you made up three points this week. Well done. Just, mate, it's done. I've got to keep it interesting because people are getting bored, didn't they, after the last couple of years.
We must remember that the first season must have an asterisk on it because I didn't start till about October, remember?
Okay. Yeah, excuses and, all the time, mate.
Let's talk about the FPL.
Well, we can't. If you'd let me finish and let me not interrupt, that no Fantasy Premier League update this week because of the Premier League winter break. So this round of Fantasy Premier League is spread over 2 weeks. So unfortunately, we can't discuss that any further. What a shame.
Well, we can discuss your position in the league, which is a bottom feeder.
Yeah, about as low as it can go, mate, isn't it? About as low as it can go.
Lower than a snake's belly, I'd say.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. So, mate, there's loads to discuss. Obviously, normally we start with your club, Man United. I'm going to give you a break from that for now. We will talk about them a bit later. But I want to talk about a couple of things coming out of the Saudi Arabian League. Steven Gerrard set to extend his contract at Al-Ettifaq. Apologies if I didn't pronounce that correctly.
Use it again. Sorry, I didn't miss that.
Al-Ettifaq. Okay. According to the Saudi Arabian sources, the club are preparing to announce that he signed a two-year extension, having only joined in July. Despite struggling for wins this season, they lie eighth in the table. They finished seventh last season, finishing a massive 35 points behind the champions. Look, mate, I don't think it's any secret that I don't think Steven Gerrard is the greatest manager to ever exist. I don't think that's a secret. But he seems to be struggling out there a little bit. But then, fair play to the club. They're backing him, giving him an extra 2 years. I'm sure his bank balance will be nicely topped up from that. But alongside that, we have Jordan Henderson has left Saudi Arabia only 6 months after joining to join Ajax, which is an interesting move. So I want your thoughts on kind of those two stories simultaneously, because obviously Jordan Henderson was at Steven Gerrard's club. First of all, is that a blow to Steven Gerrard to lose Jordan Henderson only 6 months after his move?
No, because they're not going to game in eight games. Jordan Henderson played in them games. So, no, not a big miss. He's obviously not happy. So, a player unhappy is, yeah, it's no good to you as a manager. So, yeah, it's unlucky. So, you know, was it worth the money? All the crap he got for the laces and there. So, probably wasn't worth it. But, you know, he tried it. He's obviously not done his research, thinking it's going to be,
like maybe a higher level than he thought. Do you think he thought it was going to be a higher level?
Probably the facilities aren't up to date yet, even though the money's astronomical. But yeah, he's obviously not done his research, and his family are not happy and he wants home. So Saga's over, he's at Ajax now. So see how they do, but they're struggling. So
yeah, it's quite interesting, mate, because obviously he signed a 3-year contract which was worth 700 grand a week. So for 6 months, he's had that whopping amount of money. My maths is not great, but he's not struggling for the rent. But interestingly, they've agreed to terminate his contract to facilitate the move. And now he's gone to Ajax on a 2.5-year deal. So it's a permanent deal. Ajax, as you mentioned, are struggling for the first time in a long time. They're struggling in the Dutch league. Do you think that's an intelligent signing from them to bring Jordan Henderson in? I think it might take him a bit of time to get going because of the standard of football he's been playing. But yeah, once he does get going,
he's probably at about 17 million in that 6 months. Obviously, tax, they won't get the tax benefits because I think he's got to stay there for over like 2 years to receive that tax benefit. So, even half of that for 6 months, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be in what, 8-9 million. So, yeah, it's not a. Not too bad, but the money's not worth the money if you're not happy. So,
no, and then,
it's not like he's he's eating beans on toast every night before he went. So, and the Steven Gerrard, well, it's good they've stuck by him. So obviously they're going with the long call, but it's good for him that I think he can get his teeth into proper coaching, learning the games. He's still a new coach and a new manager, and then we'll see how he ends up. It could make his reputation even worse, but like I say, he'd be a lot more well off.
Yeah, and I think, look, people criticise the players for going there and the managers for going there. I don't necessarily buy into that side of things because I just think you're talking.
Mate, I won't give a shit.
Generational wealth, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting. Go on, mate.
It's just generational wealth. Like, there's, and don't get me wrong, you know, none of these footballers are struggling for cash. I'm not saying that by any means. But you're talking, like, what did you say, 17 million in six...
Well, he's earning about 30-odd million a year.
That's just, like, an astronomical amount.
In 3 years, do the math. It's a lot of money.
Of course. But he's not the only player, Jordan Henderson, who there's been rumours of kind of wanting out of the Saudi league. Benzema has been linked with a move on loans potentially to Manchester United.
He's on big though as well, isn't he? He's on like
he's on massive wages as well. He was one of the highest paid ones, wasn't he?
Him and Ronaldo on big though.
Would you, as a footballer, like, if you take, I don't really see, understand how United would be able to facilitate his wages with the financial fair play, unless the Saudi club was going to pay the majority.
But well, if you went as alone,
from a football point of view, would you take Benzema till the end of the year? You still think he could contribute
for the potential to keep him
if he's up to the pace
left Real Madrid fucking 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's very true. And I think the other thing is I think is like, if I'm Hoyland and I see Benzema come in, I'm happy because it takes the pressure off him a little bit. But if you're going to learn from a striker, mate, there ain't many better to learn from than from Benzema, one of the, you know, the modern day great strikers. I personally don't think it'll happen. I just think the wages involved are too much. But you never know, do you? With these loan moves, it's always weird. Like, teams can pay the wages and stuff like that. But it makes a lot of sense to me. Why do you think these players want out, though? Like, we've mentioned the amount of money they're earning. Like, why are they looking to get that move, do you think?
Because they don't want to live in a desert, probably.
Yeah, I mean...
Totally different way of life, isn't it? Totally different way of life. Yeah, if you have your family there, you're probably isolated. You've got loads of money, but if you're not happy, what's the worth of having loads of money? You know, like I say, they weren't eating beans on toast before they went. They're multimillionaires. So you've seen the money. And he's gone. He's not done his research. And, he's had 6 months of unhappy family, him. It's just a bad experience. And you just go down as an experience. So, but like I say, he's probably earned 10 million quid from it. So,
Do you think...
It'll probably soften the blow.
Yeah. Do you think if, you know, the likes of Benzema, Henderson, maybe a couple of others start leaving the Saudi league before, you know, they've really stayed there for long, does that hurt the long-term probability of the Saudi league becoming like one of the big leagues around the world? Certainly, you know, in terms of football. Because if players aren't hanging around for that money...
It's not good, is it?
No. I think we kind of got to keep an eye on it. Like, I think one of the things which surprised me was the lack of fans in the stadiums. Like, that must have been quite a big culture shock to some of those players who've come from the Premier League and La Liga to then, you know, be kind of in grounds with, like, you know, a couple of thousand, if that. I think that's got to have been a bit of a eye-opener for some of them. Maybe they thought the ground, you know, speculating, obviously, but maybe they thought the grounds were going to be ram-packed. The money's there, if they're paying the players this much, the facilities are going to be kind of top level and whatnot. But I think you mentioned last week, like, if you look at some of the teams, they've got one or two, like, stars, if you like, from around Europe, and then they're made up of kind of local players. And maybe the standard, generally speaking, is not quite where it needs to be for the Saudi league to move on to where it is trying to get to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe because they've got the money, maybe they run before they can walk, if that makes sense. But yeah. I don't know. Like, it's speculation, isn't it? But I am interested by it because obviously, in Henderson's case, he took a lot of shit, a lot of grief for going out. Going out there to play after some of the things he had sort of said and stuff. So, like you say, maybe like money just because you've got money doesn't mean you can't be miserable, you know? It's one of them, isn't it? Did you watch the FA Cup games this week, Mitt?
Watched a bit of West Ham, and I watched a bit of Blackpool and Forest last night.
Anything sort of stand out to you, mate, in terms of the results and teams? Obviously, Newport are through. 3-1 away to Eastleigh. They play yourselves. Be a big game for Newport.
Wouldn't like fancy sitting in that stand they're making now.
No, I know, innit? Anything like temporary stand, innit? Do you know, interestingly, I noticed that former Cardiff City player Aaron Wildig scored for Newport on... So that was quite interesting. And... I see a lot of people just almost writing off Newport and saying, you know, Man United just got to go and win. And like, it's like we haven't watched the FA Cup for the last 30, 40 years as adults and seen these teams.
Sorry. Do you want a bet?
No. Look, of course they should win. I understand that. Of course they should. But how many times have we seen it over the years, mate?
Manchester United, a League Two game, League Two time.
Wrexham beating Arsenal with Mickey Thomas's free kick back in the day.
That's like 30 odd years ago.
But that's what I'm saying. There's always a couple every year. So if United, all I guess what I'm saying is, if they're not at it,
it's like comparing like Newport to Cardiff. You're comparing Arsenal to Man United. Come on.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just saying, like, if United are not at it,
that's just the line of Arsenal fans. That.
We love a bit of that.
But it is still factually correct. Come on. Arsenal, very big club, but come on.
Yeah, especially at that time, I suppose, as well. But what would be interesting, mate, is if he does... He tends not to rotate in the Cup, does he? Like, he does tend to play as pretty strong
side. There's no need to now. We're out of the Champions League. This is the only Cup you can really realistically win. So...
Yeah. We've got to make sure.
Why would you even give it a chance? Let's go there, get a professional job done. I just play like athletes. You know, like play McTominay, big, strong. Maguire fit. Get Martinez a game, a nice little game for him. Wan-Bissaka.
Could be some goals Hoyland. For Hoyland.
Fill your boots, come on.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it should be.
Won't play Rashford. I won't play Rashford. I play Garnacho and someone else.
So it's 10 days from today, I just saw. So, like, with that, you know, Casemiro's going to be back fit where he's training, so he should probably play an hour, you'd think. Then the keeper, Bayern Dour, is going to make his debut, I would have thought, because Onana's in the AFCON.
Mason Mount might get a game. He's back training, I think, as well.
Is he? There you go. Yeah, so they're the players I would actually play. Is the, you know, obviously Bayern Dür is going to have to play unless they play Tom Heaton. You know, Martinez, Casemiro, Mount. I'd probably play Hoyland to try and, you know, keep his scoring run going. But, you know, if they go there, I guess, with a bad attitude, which some of the time this year their attitude hasn't been great. Newport are going to be up for it, mate. The crowd's going to be behind them. It's a small crowd, but it'll be loud. We saw Leeds go to Cardiff famously in the FA Cup. They were top of the Premier League at the time, and Cardiff were, you know, lowly second division. And they didn't like it up them. So ask Rio Ferdinand, he compared it to playing in Turkey. Newport will be up for it. So United will have to be professional. If they're professional and they play like they can, they'll win. We know this. But I just think, you know, we've seen it so many times over the years. A couple of other ties which interest me that weekend.
Not with Manchester United, you haven't.
I was going to say, when I'm trying to think back, there must have been...
Setting them up here to fail, aren't they? There's no way they get beat.
Yeah.
No way. Fucking Newport, can't we?
I'm trying to think where of any, like, shocks involving United. I don't remember
United,
a lot.
Leeds United was one. They were League One side at the time. Played at Old Trafford. Jermaine Beckford scored 1-0.
That's right. I remember that. So, Will just put in the comments, Newport have knocked out a few Premier League teams in the FA Cup recent years.
Not Manchester United.
FA Cup shocks. involving Man United. I don't really want
to talk like Fulham or Bournemouth.
Yeah, no, I mean like real shocks, like, because I think Championship teams and Premier League.
Exeter drew with United once as well.
Sure. Yeah. So let's have a look. Jose Mourinho lost to Bristol City, away at Bristol City in the FA Cup.
United, but this is league. That's a Championship side. They're, you know, Championship side. Leeds United, Stachkov. This is Newport County. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there's a difference. There's a big difference between a Championship side, which is well funded.
If they get beat there, then forget it. I'm just boycotting. I'm just not watching them this season. They shouldn't even be at Manchester United. They get beat off Newport County. Come on, this is not being disrespectful. This is arguably one of the biggest clubs in the world, and going to a second division outfit who get like 2,500-3,000 fans.
Yeah. No, I don't. Like I said, if they play like they can, you'd expect United to go through.
I would hope the pitch is hanging, it's windy, it's raining, and then, you know, anything they can get for advantage and make it a game for them. That's the only way they're going to get a result. If the pitch is hanging, it's pissing down the rain, that wind coming off Newport, coming off from the sea. Yeah, that's the only way.
In 2006, under Fergie, Southend beat United 1-0 in the League Cup fourth round. The team contained John O'Shea, Wes Brown, Sylvester, Ronaldo, Rooney. Happens, mate.
All very early on in the careers. Rooney come in 2004, so, but he was quality when he came. But Ronaldo wasn't Ronaldo when he left.
No, he wasn't the Ronaldo that he turned out to be.
Not experienced player. It can happen, but this is, again, Southend United were kind of biggest club. This is Newport County. With a team that have not played for 2 weeks, fresh, ready to go.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? I tell you what, an interesting game, which I really like the look of, is Blackburn versus Wrexham. Because Blackburn have been awful in the league this year, so Wrexham will fancy that.
I've watched Wrexham a few times this season, and they'll give anyone a good game. They're a decent outfit, Wrexham.
They play some good football,
and real quality up front, and it makes a difference.
Mate, you go when you got like Paul Mullin scores goals, but when you've got the experience of Fletcher,
if you're making chance after chance after chance and missing and missing and missing, you're gonna get beat. If you've got one kid there, just one chance, boom, goal. Yeah.
The other thing with that is if Wrexham were to get an early-ish goal, you could see the Blackburn fans turning and getting a bit frustrated and groaning. The anxiety
grows. Wrexham will take a good crowd, won't they?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, they'll take a good couple of thousand, I would have thought. Be a good one, mate. Be a good one. What else would I like? There was another one I really like the look of. Everton at Luton. I know it's an all Premier League game, but I like the look of that. Ipswich Town at home to Maidstone United. That's a good one because Ipswich have been flying.
At home. If it was at Maidstone, Ipswich at home. Come on. It is weird how these FA Cup games spring up some, though, don't they? They spring up these.
They just always do. Every year there's them, isn't
it? Yeah, no, I don't know why I'm like so sure with United, but come on.
Well, like on paper and everything, you know, in between, like they should win, shouldn't they? Let's be honest.
Like their team has probably cost like 2 million. Fucking.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it?
11 versus 11, man gets sent off early for United. 10 versus 11, never know.
United, there is some anxiety there in that United side when they get put under pressure. And I think, you know, Newport will think that they can get at them. You're going to pay for this, mate. Someone's going to clip this up and Newport are going to win 1-0 and you're going to never live it down. Yeah. Setting yourself up for it. But no, like I said, it's understandable. Like they should win, but it's just one of them things, mate, isn't it? Did you see the stuff about Qatar? The supposedly they didn't have the funds and that was why they never really got going with their move and stuff. All feels a bit Glazer PR-y to me myself, but I don't know. I've got no idea. Did you see
as
that
soon
stuff?
As soon as I've seen Glazer in the centres, I just, no.
Switch off.
Yeah, just tell it out of the club then. No, I watch him. I'm a big NFL fan. Tampa Bay in the playoffs. There, all of them are at the game. Getting stuck in, supporting. Yeah, it just makes me sick. The horrible people.
Do you know, I tell you who has been doing well in the AFCON is Sofyan Amrabat, mate. He had a blinder yesterday.
I never watch the African nation. I don't know why. I've never really got into it. It's just a weird time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is straight. I watched a little bit of the Morocco game, and Sofyan Amrabat, mate, like, it makes you wonder why he's not playing and if it's like more of a financial decision. Because I think he'd be perfect alongside Mainoo over these last few weeks. But I just don't know, mate. It's very strange to me. They brought him in.
The jury's out on this manager. The clock's ticking on him. He needs to sort it out.
But do you think some of it's self-inflicted with the manager? Because I think
you look at Tottenham players, they've been missing players, but they still play the same way. Some player comes in, they still play the same way, they know what they're doing. What the fuck are we doing? We don't the same shit every season. It's every year. I mean, every week. It's dreadful.
But do you not think the pressure that Ten Hag is under, right? When you consider he had a good first season, yeah? But you'd think that would buy him like a little bit of breathing space. But do you think he's brought on
14, 15 times this year still? So I mean.
Yeah, man. I get what you mean. But do you think 14, he's brought it on 15 himself? 15
times. Some at home, his selections. Some like West Ham and Bournemouth. Come on.
Mm. I mean, even that the first game of the season, the Wolves game, they were very lucky to get out with a 1-0 win, wasn't it?
I've seen them play well once. What was the game?
Yeah, there's like a handful of games. Chelsea,
Everton, Villa. Even that Everton game, Everton had chances to go up. So
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's very clear. You could see straight away when Martinez came on against Spurs. He's a special, special defender. And he's a big part. It sounds weird for a centre-back, but he is a massive part of how United played last year because he's is able to fizz it in through the lines to a Mainoo, to a Bruno. They haven't got that without him. There's nobody else in the defence who can break the lines like he does whilst also having the aggression and the rest of it. That's what I was saying. So I think the manager has brought on a lot of the pressure that he's got under now himself by continually picking McTominay, for instance, when there was other options. Not when there was no other options, but when there was other options, but he kept picking him and they kept having the same issues, causing Bruno to have to cover him, blah, blah, blah. We've talked about it to death. Refusal to play certain players, sticking by Rashford probably a bit too long when he was out of form. Just a whole host of different selections which were avoidable, in my opinion. I did see an interesting thing the other day. Obviously, Sancho came and got an assist in his first game, didn't he? And he was late for his medical. Fucking hell. I tell you what, mate. Some people just never learn, do they? what was interesting is I've seen a few people saying that maybe Ineos will make a statement whether Ten Hag stays or goes. They might get rid of Antony in the summer. Do you think he deserves time to try and settle in Manchester? He's obviously had some off the field distractions. He's not in control of his price tag. Do you think he deserves another, like next season, to try and show that he's good enough? Or do you think that maybe they might?
I do. I do think he should give him another year. It's not his fault that it's 90 million, but he's got pace, he's got quality. He needs coaching, something needs to drop in him. Because he's got the tools, but it's just predictable, isn't it? Very predictable.
Yeah.
If you're a striker, you would hate to play with him. Hate.
Well, do you know, if you remember about a month ago, I said they should try when Rashford was dropped, I said try Antony on the left and Garnacho on the right. to actually use their pace to beat a man and put a bloody cross in. And Garnacho, I think, looks better on the right. I got to say, he had a really tough game against that Undoggy in it from Spurs, because he was really, really physically strong, really quick. Difficult game.
Well, Garnacho can go both ways anyway. So
yeah, and I just think maybe that would suit Antony, but Rashford looked better against Spurs marginally, or he certainly maybe put some effort in. Yeah, it's a weird one that I just. Do you think Ten Hag stays after this season?
I got a feeling
they might go.
I don't know. It's a difficult one, that, mate. I don't know.
I guess it all depends.
It all depends how the season finishes.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose if Martinez, Casemiro, Mount all come back and they start firing and they go on a bit of a run, you know, finish fifth, but win the FA Cup. I could see them keeping him then, because I think he's got a point. Like, he's had really important injuries. He still hasn't been able to play Hoyland, Mount, etc., with the core players from last year. So I think there is an argument for that. But on the other side of things, I think he's brought on a lot of the problems himself. before we do our predictions, mate, I want to talk a bit about the Championship. Cardiff City still haven't signed anyone, which is no surprise. I talked about last night, there's a few rumours of dissension in the ranks and stuff, which is always handy as you're trying to, you know, get yourself ramped up for the second part of the season. A bit of good news, though, for Cardiff City. Aaron Ramsey's back in training. I think that's massive to get him back. Obviously, a quality player. They've got to get players in, ultimately. Like, if they don't get players in, they're going to struggle. It's just fact of life. But Leicester, flying. They've actually opened up a seven-point gap now at the top between them and Ipswich. They did lose their last game, but do you think Leicester might pull away from that group now in the Championship?
Yes, 100%. Just looking at the table now, 100%. They've...
Southampton look poised to catch Ipswich, don't they, as
Southampton,
well?
Southampton look strong. And what have they got? 46, but they've got 19 games left and there's 7 points. But it's the way they're playing. They're looking really strong, aren't they?
Yeah, and Ipswich have just faltered a little bit recently. Dropped, you know, they drew 3 on the bounce after losing 1. They did win their last game, but I mean... The Ipswich, I said it to you before, Ipswich, I thought, looked the best side I'd seen Cardiff play this year. Although I did think Leeds were very good at Cardiff on Saturday, but Cardiff gave them way too much respect. Just let them play. It was frustrating as hell.
There's always one that misses out, really, but it looks like there's going to be two that misses out this year, because Leeds look pretty strong as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think... That top four, mate, I would not be surprised if two of them go up and the other two end up in the playoff final, just because of the quality of them. But there's always a team.
Always a late runner, though, isn't there?
Always. And, like, it could be, you know, Cardiff, Sunderland, Norwich, Middlesbrough. I think Middlesbrough could be in a good position, because when I look at Middlesbrough, they've got the experience of last year going close. They've had a rough start to the season and they've really built up a bit of momentum. I rate Carrick. They've got a good squad. And I think they could be the ones who have got that bit of experience from last year to put a late run together. But then Sunderland, the same as well. I think Sunderland, the one thing with Sunderland, which they don't have this year, is Ahmad. I thought, like, obviously he was their player of the year. He created and scored a lot of goals for them, and they haven't got him this year.
But even though with Cardiff, in the last few years, last couple of years, they've been floating
fighting relegation.
Aren't they?
Well, so I had this discussion yesterday. They are, and if you had asked me at the start of the season, 18th of January, you're going to be sat 13th with the embargo lifted and the rest of it, I'd have been thrilled and I would have snapped your hand off for it. But with the Championship being as it is, if Cardiff, you know, lose 3 or 4 games of the next 5, they're going to be dragged right back into that relegation. But equally, if you win three or four out of your next five, you could be right up in the playoffs as well. So it's such a mad league, mate. Isn't it?
Well, we have 15 points from relegation at the minute. So
yeah, mate. But look, if you look at the teams behind them, Bristol, Swansea, Millwall, look at the form of Millwall. They've won. They've only lost one in the last five games. They've all those teams, like those four or five
Sheffield
teams behind
Wednesday,
you.
QPR, Rotherham,
yeah.
Huddersfield,
yeah, look,
Birmingham, they're all struggling.
I think it's very unlikely that Cardiff get dragged into, you know, into the proper, into the relegation
zone.
You're just
negative Nelly, aren't you?
Yeah, mate, of course. I'm a Cardiff City fan. I've had years of it. But I do think we're safe. But I'd be also disappointed if our season fizzles out because we haven't really strengthened in January. And we end up sort of like 19th or 20th. And it's like, come on, that's it. Like, we have to have a good start this season. Back the manager now in January. It sounds like they're trying to get some stuff done. Hopefully that'll come to fruition over the next couple of days. But the championship, I just enjoy it so much. It's so like cut and thunder and, you know, anyone can beat anyone on their day. Like, I'll just pick a game out of the blue now. Sunderland play Hull on Friday the 19th of January, right? Hull have been struggling a little bit of recent. They've lost four of their last five, right? Hull have. Sunderland doing well just outside the playoffs. If you told me that Hull go and beat Sunderland at Sunderland, I wouldn't be surprised. But Hull have lost four of their last five games. It's just a crazy, crazy league. And it's enjoyable, mate. I enjoy it more than I enjoy the Premier League at the moment. I feel like the Premier League is so commercialised and I find it very difficult sometimes to get into it because you know who's going to, you almost know who's going to, you know, who's going to win and who's going to be up there. I suppose there is a bit of that refreshing side of it this year with the Villas and the, like, you know, some other teams up there, but I don't know. I mean, Villa's still there in third in the Premier League, level on points with Man City. Yep. Arsenal, level on points with Spurs in fourth and fifth. I think United are going to struggle, mate. Even if they put a run together, I think they'll struggle to get Champions League this year. I really do.
Think, yeah.
Yeah, because I just think if you look at the top four now, Liverpool, City, Villa and Arsenal, they all look very consistent this year. Tottenham look fairly consistent. They do, mate.
Arsenal just been beat three times.
Yeah, I know, but Arsenal's a small club, isn't it? I'm on about the big clubs like Liverpool, City, Villa.
Oh, I got you, yeah.
And Tottenham, of course, you know, former FA Cup winners back in the day. But no, I think
the only one you think would struggle was Villa.
Just from an experience point of view, isn't it?
Coming to the end of the stretch, you get, you know, it's a different kind of pressure. They've got to keep it up. They've got to win every game. They play. They can play all them top teams at the top in a week and not get anything. So, and there's 9 points lost straight away. So, yeah, it's and you'd expect United, Chelsea, or Brighton, one of them, or maybe Newcastle, to on the stretch to get a run of games going.
Yeah,
Chelsea by say like an Ivan Toney.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting, is who gets him? Because Arsenal want him. Chelsea have been rumoured to be after him. I heard a whisper the other week or read somewhere that Tottenham wouldn't mind another striker. It's whether they've got the money. Like Ivan Toney, what do you reckon, 60, 70 million? Do you think about that?
No. More than that.
More than 70?
Yeah. Scores 20 goals a season, mate, for Brentford.
Yeah, I just meant off the back of a ban.
Brentford don't have to sell him. You're looking at north of 100 million, mate. I mean, round about 90 to 100 million.
Are Brentford in trouble, mate? They've lost five on the bounce. They're 3 points ahead of the relegation zone. If they lose Ivan Toney as well now in January, would you worry for them?
Well, they bring someone in, wouldn't they? They try and bring someone in as well. And if they got that money, they're planning to do this business early. If they don't, then they keep him and he probably keeps them up. So that's that. Then again, they get 100 odd million for staying in the Premier League. So it's a difficult one. But you would think if they're going to get rid of him, they'd do it pretty sharpish. and have someone lined up.
Yeah, surely they wouldn't drag it out until the last week of the window if they're going to sell him, even if they're going to sell him for big bucks, because they've got to get someone in. I know he hasn't played this year, but the thought of him coming back and the lift he would have given that squad.
He scored 3 goals, so...
Yeah, like, it's a weird one, isn't it? So, we'll do our predictions now. I just looking at Chelsea's form. Chelsea have won 3 on the bounce, right? So... Yeah, I just think United might struggle. But if I stick with what I thought a couple of weeks ago, which was when Casemiro and Martinez come back, I think you'll see a big uptake in how United play.
I think someone's going to struggle in Plymouth.
Yeah, me too.
Home park. Played there.
Away from home. Right, let's do some predictions then, my friend. I'll do the first one, you do the second one. Norwich versus West Brom. I've gone 2-1 to West Brom.
Norwich at home.
Yeah, to West Brom. West Brom for me, mate. West Brom.
2-1 Norwich.
Ooh, interesting. West Brom been banging form.
Home team, they're only like fucking 5 points behind them, so they're not. It's the Championship, mate. Come on.
And if Norwich can win, it closes that gap, doesn't it? Which what were we just saying? Bristol City in the Championship. Bristol City at home to Watford. What you got?
2-2.
I've gone 1-1. Brentford at home.
Copying me there.
I've already got mine in, mate. Brentford at home to Nottingham Forest. I've gone 2-1 Forest. Because I think Forest have been in good form, but I think Brentford have been struggling. They're literally a point separating them. I don't think so, mate. I'm not sure, though. I can try and find that out, because that would make a difference.
Now, can he play now, can't he?
Ooh, that's 3-1. An interesting one.
3-1 Brentford.
Interesting. Yeah, I think he'd give him a massive lift, especially at home. I didn't consider Ivan Toney, but that's why you're here, mate, isn't it? For the stats, the analysis. The professionalism. Ivan Toney, is he back? Because if he's back, I am going to change my result.
Fuck's sake.
Shouldn't have told me, should you? Ivan Toney is back.
So I'm getting punished for doing research. My own research. Go on.
So I'm going to change it from Forest 2-1 to... What did you say?
3-1 Brentford.
I'll go 2-1. 2-0 Brentford. Leeds at home to Preston North End, mate. I've got 3-1 Leeds, me.
2-0 Leeds.
Good shout. And then next up, we got Sheffield United at home to West Ham United. I've gone with 3-1 to West Ham. Tell me why I'm wrong.
1-0 Sheffield United.
Interesting. I think it's unlikely they keep a clean sheet. Although Mengi, who's the centre back for Sheffield United? What's his name? That's going to bug me. I'll find that out now. I've gone 3-1 West Ham with that one. So, lastly, with Bournemouth at home to Liverpool, I've gone 2-1 to Liverpool, but I was not confident in that at all.
I've gone 3-1 Liverpool.
Because Bournemouth have been very, very good, haven't they? And they've won 4 of the last
Actually,
5
I'm
games.
Go 3-2.
So I've gone 2-1. Yeah. Do you think they hold on to Solanke, mate, in January?
Yes.
I think they grab it, keep him in January, sell him in the summer, probably.
Mate, he was minging a year ago.
It's mad how it changes, isn't it?
I'd like cooler jets on him because he could go somewhere and do that again. So he's happy. Scoring goals, give him, you know, kill your jets on him. He's, you know, just need to see if it pans out.
If they stay up, mate, which it looks like, you know, they might do, or they will do because they've been having a good season. If I was him, and I can't speak for his personal situation, etc. But if I was him, I'd think about staying at Bournemouth. Bournemouth have really done well over the last few years, and like you said previously, he was shite,
mate.
So. The grass isn't always greener, mate.
Have you ever been to Bournemouth?
I have not, no. Is it a shithole?
No, not at all.
Is it a lovely place?
There's a lot of old people there.
Is there? It's not a young footballer type vibe, is it? Not like loads of girls and the rest of it.
Lovely place, though. Lovely place in the summer.
I might have to check it out, mate. I like, you know, our old people are fitting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lovely place in the summer, but, you know, there's a lot of the average age is, you know,
old.
On the old side.
Yeah, Sheffield United, Robinson, it was the centre-back I was thinking of. They don't tend to keep a lot of clean sheets, so I think West Ham will score. But there we go.
I think, you know, West Ham have played a couple of games. They played the FA Cup. Sheffield United have not been doing anything, so Chris Wilder is a really good coach. So I think it'll be a 1-0. They'll be coaching just on this game alone for like 6, 7, 8 days. So they'll be well prepared. And that's why I'm just picking 1-0.
Good shout, mate. Very just quickly before we finish, breaking news. Forest Green have sacked Troy Deeney after just 6 games.
I could have told you.
Well, I saw just before we started, I saw a thing saying he had been banned for 4 games or something because he got sent off or whatever. And then it just came up again saying he's been sacked. So not sure. Something happened on the sideline, did it?
I don't know, mate. He's I don't know, my mate said that he's gone.
Elvis,
picture of
Elvis. All it says is Troy Deeney was sacked after 6 games in charge of the League Two side. Deeney was in his first managerial role, apologised earlier this week for criticising his own players following a defeat by Harrogate, saying he allowed his emotions to get the better of him. They set 7 points above.
Again.
Relegation,
mate,
zone.
It's just amateur hour. How you think you're going to get a performance? You're a manager, coach them better, keep things in house. You don't have to do things for clicks. What a bell end! I'd be very surprised if he gets a job again.
Do you know, it's weird though, right?
It's like I played in the Premier League.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you.
One of them, mate. Fuck off.
Do you think that some of these players, like Troy Deeney, Rooney, whoever, who've played, you know, Premier League football at least, do you think when they coach the lower league players, they get frustrated because those players aren't capable of what they expect?
Are you fucking putting Troy Deeney and Wayne?
No, I'm not. I just the first two that I could think of who played in the Premier League and managing at a lower level. There's a few others around as well. Maybe even Gerrard is the side putting it. Gerrard's just shite.
Possibly.
Like, but, just, do you know what I mean? Like, they just expect them to be able to.
Come on. He wasn't fucking Renato. He wasn't, you know, Alan Shearer. No. Come on. Yes, he played in the Premier League and he scored some goals. But come on. I mean, you can talk and treat people like the fucking idiots because you played in the Premier League.
So he looks like he said something on
P45 up and fuck off.
It looks like he said something on like the rate, like local radio or something, and was quite critical of the players. Quite personal by the looks of it as well.
Can't do it, mate. Even though you want to, you say it in house, and then you go out and praise them and say, you know, they need to work, blah, blah, blah. But you don't start.
You roll out the cliches to the press,
killing your players. Come on.
That's what cliche.
Just tell him to fuck off. I'm being serious. Yeah. Hey, what the fuck are you going on about? You're a dickhead, mate. Just coach us. You're a dick. Coach us and win games. Don't just fucking try and hammer us personally on fucking...
On the radio, like...
On the media. You're a dickhead. Like, I'll reiterate, pick your P45 off and fuck off.
We'll leave it there, mate. As always, appreciate your honesty. It's, you know, my favourite thing about the show, mate. No cliches here. We'll say how it is. Say it how we think it is, say what we think, and no holding back. As always, mate, appreciate it. UFC on the weekend, looking good. Got our Welsh brethren, Oban Elliott, on the prelims as well.
Nice, we're watching good. That. I'll be up Saturday watching that, because it's a good
Let's
card.
Have it.
If I stay up to watch it all, that's another story. But
yeah.
I'll watch it.
It's just so late, mate. Too old for it these days. As always, check out the channels, check out everything else, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. I'll be back tomorrow for a quick preview of Cardiff City versus Plymouth in the evening. Until then, we bid you farewell in a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.